But the Bible says, right, to meditate on his word every day. It says in Joshua 1:9, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night so that you may be successful in everything that you do and prosperous. And so that's what we're going to pray right now. Amen. Father, we lift up Bob to you, and we pray, Lord, that as he brings forth your word today, Lord, that you would anoint him, Lord, that the blessing would be upon him, and Lord, that it would challenge us. We thank you for the word he brought forth the other night with the puzzle, and Lord, and focusing upon the picture. We pray right now, Lord, that you would move mightily upon him, but Lord, we pray too for ourselves that you would touch our hearts, and we would take this word, and that we would walk it out. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. All right. On Thursdays, we have been going through the book of John. And is Ray here? Ray, it hasn't been a year. Ray always says it's been a year. It's only been 11 and a half months. But we're not done yet. But just not long ago in the book of John, we'd come apart where Jesus, during his last week, it was during the Last Supper, looked over at his disciples and the word said, he knew their thoughts. Amen? He knew their thoughts. Does that mean Jesus can read minds? Yes. Yes. What is it that God can't do? I haven't found it yet. And, you know, I got to thinking that... But, you know, when we were reading that, a thought came to my mind. You know, the Word also says we can do even greater things when the Holy Spirit comes than Jesus did. Is that true? Well, then, we should be able to read minds then, read thoughts. But hold, the Word said we can do even greater things. I thought to myself, well, what could be greater? You know, this is how my dumb mind thinks. What could be greater than reading someone's thoughts? You know, maybe I could read their thoughts before they even had them. Wow, that doesn't sound godly, does it? Anytime we hear something that doesn't sound godly, we need to test it, right? It says test the spirits. When I was reading that, Jesus brought to my mind this one verse 2 that kind of laid it out here for me in Matthew 24, chapter 24, verse 24 through 25. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. If possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. We're forewarned that people can be deceived. Can I be deceived? Yes. Was that thought deceived? I don't know. It was out of the Word of God. So this morning I've devised a test to see if I can read thoughts before somebody thinks them. There's nothing wrong with testing it, is it? It says to test the spirits. I know some people say, well, you shouldn't put up a fleece. I'll put up anything that helps because I want to know it's God, right? I've told the story so many times that any time God asks me to do something, I look around, ain't a way in the world I can do this. But I've learned, I say, God, if this is you, you'll make a way. And he always does. I know it's God. He's moved mountains to make his word happen, right? But I just devised a simple experiment to see if I can read people's minds before they even think of them, right? Betty, we're going to start out with Betty this morning. I'm not reading Betty's thoughts. Betty, could you come up for a minute, please? The reason I'm asking Betty to start this off is, you know, I could be playing a trick on you or something, you know. I'm not doing that this morning. I honestly want to see if I can do this. And Betty is the most honest, and I mean this sincerely, Betty. Take this. Hold that. Take your praises. She is honestly the most trustworthy person I know. There is no lie in her. She's the worst liar in the world, right? She couldn't even sell new cars, let alone used cars. But I brought her up because of her honesty. She is the most honest person around. Nobody here can dispute Betty's honesty, can they? Okay. Did you know have I talked to you about doing anything? Or I mentioned I might call you up, but that was it, right?
Can you explain that, please?
All right. I'm going to make this simple. Stay here again. Betty is honest. Everybody agree? All right. So you know she's not involved in any trickery. All right.
Right.
Betty, you choose somebody. Just anybody here, just pick a name. We've only got half an hour, Betty. I don't know. You're cutting into my time.
Lizzie?
Lizzie. Where's Lizzie? Lizzie, where's she at? Lizzie, come here. Thank you, Betty. Have a seat. I'm not going to ask you to do anything, Liz. Come on. Hold on. Hold on. Are you Pastor Don's daughter?
I don't know.
Well, you. Since you are, the other was obvious, you know. All right, same thing. Lizzie, did you know? I haven't talked to you in quite a while, have I?
No.
Okay. You didn't know you were coming up here?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Take that. You pick somebody. Half an hour. You know, you don't take after your dad. He would have already made a wrong decision. He's. You can't see them. Who? Loose. Great. Great. Thank you. You can go now.
That was all?
That was all. That's not hard. See, this is quite elaborate, isn't it? But what length should we go to confirm God's word? Is it worth making a mistake? No, it's not. We should always look to confirm any way we can whether God's word is true or not, right? Well, it's hard. Yes. But it's harder to be deceived and walk in deception, isn't it? Here I'm standing up here thinking I might be able to read people's mind before they even think it. Does that sound stupid? Has anybody here ever had stupid thoughts? All right. Luce, how are you doing, Luce?
Good.
Good. Are you nervous?
Of course.
Well, you should be. I'm now going to make Luce disappear. No. No. See, it's obvious. Betty is honest. She wasn't in on any kind of a hoax. She didn't know. Lizzie didn't know she was calling her. Now, how would I know who Lizzie was going to call, right? It's impossible to know that you were standing up here today, correct?
Correct.
It could only be God. This is why we've got to prove things. If something's God's, God's going to make it known. Amen? Amen. Think of a number between 1 and 5. It's simple. I'm keeping it simple. Think of a number between 1 and 5. Are you thinking it? You did already? You're fast. Lizzie, see how fast she did that? All right. What number is it?
3.
What?
3.
3. Okay. No.
Oh.
Go sit down.
Mike?
Yes. What was your number?
3.
Say it enough.
Number 3.
Everybody hear that? Number 3. Are you sure?
Positive.
You're positive. Okay. Well, you look at me like you're doubting. It's your number, right? I didn't tell you I would pick a number or anything like that. All right. Freddie Mae. Where's Freddie Mae? Come up here. Here's another almost honest man. Fred, how you doing, Fred? It's a nice shirt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pricey.
What? Pricey?
Yeah, what I hear.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but okay. I said it was nice. I didn't say it was expensive looking, so don't push for compliments. This morning I seen you, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
Did I talk to you?
Yes.
Did I give you an envelope?
Yes.
Pull it out of your... Where do you have it?
Got it in my pocket.
Got it in your pocket. All right. Let's see this envelope. I sealed the envelope. See, what brought this about was that I figured the only way to see if this is really true is to test God on something, see if I can really read minds before it happens, right? Before people actually have the thought, can I read it? So last night I prayed in the Spirit. I said, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I said, if this is you, the only way possible to know is if you're right, if you give me a word, if you give me a number, if you give me something, right? And I prayed and I prayed. And I wrote that down on this sheet of paper. And on this sheet of paper, hold this. They might think I do a sleight of hand or something. Did I seal that in front of you?
Yes, you did.
Turn it around. It's even got the time. What time is on there?
8:47.
8:47. This morning.
Yes, sir.
Nobody's touched that.
No.
This was not prearranged till I seen you this morning.
No.
Okay. Well, I love this. A lot of people know nothing. This is what I love. Open that up, please. Can I read thoughts before people think them? That's the question. Hold that up. Hold it up. No, no, no. Hold it at the bottom. I want everybody to see that number.
Right upside down is three.
What's that number? Loose. What was the number? I guess I can read minds. Amen? Wow. I'm going with the Word. The Word said that I could do it. It would be impossible to fake that, correct? That was sealed and everything. But the real thing, it was like, it's called a triple blind. In other words, Betty didn't know I was going to call her. I called Betty because she was the most honest person. Everybody knows that. And asked her, I had no idea who Betty was going to pick. I couldn't, could I? And whoever that person is, how could I know who they were going to pick? And then how in the world could I know what number they were going to choose? So it must be true, then, that we can know, according to God's Word, and the Holy Spirit is telling us that we can know people's thoughts before they even think it. Hold it up. Is that proof right there? No. Who said no?
I'll say no.
Pastor. Absolutely. Let me read this one more time. We'll sit down. Don't take my show. Don't take my show. All right. No, I don't want that. That's demonic. Let me read this again. Matthew 24:24-5. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders. Was that a great sign and wonder? Right? Can anybody else here do that? Besides Pastor Don, he's a magician, among other things, right? Be able to do that. Even show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Everyone can be deceived, right? Here, hon, hold this for me. To prove it, every one of you were just deceived. There is no way that the Word says that we can read minds, let alone somebody's mind before they even think it. But be a little bit truthful with that little bit of chicanery there. Some of you were thinking, wow, I don't know, right? We can all be fooled, right? It seems like it was impossible for me to do that, doesn't it? I tried to make it as fail-safe as I could with the three people that were called up. No way could I have known, right, who those three people were going to be, correct? You're absolutely right. But you're missing the point. This is how Satan deceives. I even told you that I was going to deceive you when I read this, right? But you were subtly led along. That I wasn't going to do a great thing. I was going to try something and see if it worked. I seemed so humble and sincere. And that's how Satan works. He is the great deceiver. This is the simplest trick in the world. This is so old. This trick is older than me and Pastor Don put together. Right? I got everyone. It's the usual sleight of hand. I was got everybody looking. Magicians don't tell their secrets, right? Well, I'm not a magician. I'm just a poor boy saved by grace, so I'm going to tell you how I did it. There is no way that that could be actual. There has to be a trick. But it's a trick. What's trick mean? You don't know how it's done. But it's so simple. It's misdirection. Everybody had their eye on the three people. That's all I talked about. How could I know that, right? Then at the end, I brought someone up, right? With a sealed envelope, with a time on it. And Fred, you had nothing to do with this, right? Is that the truth? No. So how in the world? I'll tell you, it's the simplest thing in the world. Kenny, stand up. Pull the envelope out of your pocket. Eddie, pull the envelope out of your pocket. Mark, John Clinton. Each one of them did not know that I had given them an envelope with a number, 1 through 5 in it, right? Deception, just pure deception. If she'd have said the number 1, I would have said, Kenny, open your envelope. Kenny, open your envelope. It's been sealed and the number put on it and everything. What's your number, Kenny? Number 1. Now don't you feel crunchy? How simple a thing like that, right? And I'm not real bright. I did used to sell used cars, so there must be a little deception in me. On the corner of Verner Highway and Hubbard. Paladin's used cars. We didn't call them used cars. Private one owners. Carol, you missed all the good stuff. Oh, well. No. I'm out of time. No, but see, I got your eyes up. Sit down, guys. Sit down. I couldn't go wrong, could I? It was simply, you were worrying about how in the world these three people and all that. It was a simple trick like that. Even the elect. Don't feel bad, it says even the elect. I was talking to Pastor John about that this morning. Is there anybody that can't be deceived? Jesus couldn't be deceived. But other than that, no, we can all be deceived. All that was to simply make the point that we can all be deceived. I don't care who you are, how long you've been a Christian, how well you know God's word, we can be deceived. But knowing that, just like that word said, I have told you beforehand, to be forewarned is what God is doing. He's forewarning us that we can be deceived. Be careful. Right? If you get somebody you halfway trust, like me standing up here, got a pretty suit on, just looks so honest, said, well, Bob would never lie to me. Pastor Don might, but Bob would never lie to me. Right? Even the elect can be deceived, right? Including myself. I have been deceived many, many times, right? But each time I make a commitment, I'm not going to fall for that one again. The older I get, the easier it is, because I've been deceived so much, there's not too many left. That's Satan's greatest tool is deception, right? He has nothing else. He doesn't throw fire, bring down brimstone, right? He simply deceives. But that's the greatest threat coming against most of us, right, is deceived, because all deception starts right up here. Before I showed you that, some of you probably believed that, right? Or at least thinking, I don't know how he did that. But after I showed you, wasn't it so simple? That's why we need to take a look at things. First thing is, Satan has convinced us into, deceived us into believing the most important thing that Satan has convinced the world is that he doesn't exist. How can you be afraid of something that doesn't exist, right? Now, something exists, yeah, there might be a fear, but if something that doesn't exist, nobody'd be afraid of it. Satan has convinced the world that he does not exist. And those few that do believe that he exists, think of him in the wrong way. Right? They think of him as kind of a mischievous little fellow with red underwear and a little rubber pitchfork, and he just pokes you like that, just tricks you a little bit, right? He's all right. He's just a jokester. We all have a relative like that. He's harmless, right? No, that is his greatest deception. Next to yourself, Satan is your worst enemy. He wants nothing more than to see you in hell. Why? Because he don't care about you. He hates God. We've been up here for the last few weeks telling you that everybody has a plan, a purpose, and a will in their life, right? And where does that come from? God. By stopping and deceiving you from reaching whatever that plan or purpose and will in your life is, in Satan's mind, he's stopping God. If he doesn't stop you, if he slows you a little bit, like I might have had a meeting with Eddie out there, but it was a divine appointment. It was a God incident, right? Those that were there last Wednesday, God, or Wednesday before, whatever it was, God incident, right? There's no coincidences. It's God incidences, right? God might have had something planned for me, but I wouldn't go. I was tired. That's not going to stop God's plan. He's going to put somebody else there. Just give that word or whatever. Satan does not know that. He thinks he's stopping God. But you know who gets hurt in that? I do. Because I have not done what God wanted me to do. We all stand in front of him. What's he going to ask you? Linda. Did you save everyone in China? No? Oh, you're going to hell. Of course not. We think we got to do big, great things for God. Only thing God asks is obedience. Obedience. Come on, saved. We can't do the little things. If any of us ever thought that it was God asking us to do something but didn't do it? Now, we all have. Come on. Don't you feel horrible afterwards? That's what Satan wants you to feel like. Remember, he's a deceiver, and he's good at it. You know, I was reading, I love statistics. You know, you can't always believe them, but there's certain parts of it. It shows how people think. Do you know that more people believe in aliens than Satan? Oh, here's even a better one. More people believe in Bigfoot than believe in a literal Satan. Right? There's people trying to convince you that aliens are real and Bigfoot's real, and we don't believe them. Satan is real, but is convinced that he isn't. So whatever you want people to believe, just tell them the opposite thing and they'll believe it. Bigfoot isn't real. Well, yeah, I believe in him. Aliens, yeah, I believe in him. But if we tell them Satan's real, oh, no, come on, you're silly. Bigfoot, aliens, I can see, but Satan, no. And if you don't believe in something, he can just have a heyday in your life and you not know it. But I'll tell you what the truth is. Satan and God are not at war. War, there has to be a little bit of equalness in the combatants. You know, it's like us invading Grenada. I don't think there was much of a wonder that you can remember that far back. That there was much on the outcome of that battle, was it? Three old guys named Pedro with a musket and no bullets, you know, and we're attacking him with the full force of the United States. What do you think is going to happen? We're going to win. That's why it is not a war with God and Satan. That's part of his trickery. Satan is a created being. He was created by God. He can do nothing unless God allows him to. He has no power, no strength, except what you give him. Amen? Satan's plan is simple. He's got a simple plan, but a very effective one. First, he deceives you into believing a lie, like I was just doing up here. Because what good is deception? How does that help Satan that he deceives you? He just runs away and laughs. Ha ha, gotcha, John. No, that don't help him, does it? Remember, he's trying to thwart God's plan in your life. If I can get you to believe one lie, I can get you to believe two. If I can get you to believe two, I can get you to believe three. If you believe three lies, I can convince you of anything. Right? And that's what Satan does. That's how he operates. There's no lie that we wouldn't be open to after a while. And if it comes down to that, that next thing, after he deceives us, what it does is it sows doubt in our mind. because we're believing a lie. You could have walked out of church and thought, wow, I can read people's minds before they even think it. Wow, that Holy Spirit's great. I can do this. You know, I can read Sarge's mind right now. I wish he'd shut up. I want a donut. Okay. But, hey, once that doubt sits in there that you doubt one thing of God's, you can doubt everything. That's how little it is. Like one piece of crabgrass and a beautiful line. Pretty soon it's all crabgrass. All he needs is a little bit of fertile soil to put that doubt in there. Once you begin to doubt, what are you doubting? Well, what's going to happen is these lies are not going to work. You can't read people's minds before they think it. You can't read people's minds. A couple of you here are like me, don't even have a mind, right? My wife tells me the best thing I can do is don't think. We need to know that if once doubt sets in, we're going to start doubting everything. We're going to doubt God's word because it don't work. I can't read minds. I've tried. It's not working, and that's God's word. Bob told me, showed me in the Bible. I took two scriptures that weren't even related and put them together. Right? That's not the way you read God's word. You doubt his word, you begin to, well, I ain't going to, why should I go to church? His word ain't real. Next thing, you start doubting God. Whoa. Once we start to doubt God, well, the next step kicks in, we become discouraged. How many people have we seen walk away from God, walk away from the church? They're all doing just great, aren't they? Huh? No? Okay. They become discouraged. Nothing's going right. Nothing's working in my life. And I'm relying on God's word. But we just proved it wasn't God's word. You're getting discouraged because something that wasn't right to begin with is not working. And when we get discouraged, we can't find our answers in God. We can't find them church, his word. Then we start looking for another word. Another way. Another God. Boy, he's got you right where he wants you. Then the final D comes in. Then we're looking into the face of destruction. Walk away from God and his plan, and soon you're walking away from God. Sharon, I didn't write this one. Gloria, is that you? I can't see the lights there. Would you put Matthew 25:41 up, please? I forgot to give you that one. I apologize. The reason is I just thought of it. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's not a place I want to be. And that's a simple thing. Like being deceived can lead you right to the doorstep of hell. Easier than you think. Even the elect. How many people don't want that? Okay, real fast, I'm going to give you a couple things that is going to help you to prevent this from happening in your life. First of all, recognize and acknowledge sin and repent for them. Not other people's sin, your sin. Right? That is his greatest weapon in this fight. He knows what your sins are, right? And he always brings... Linda, you remember what you did. You should be ashamed of yourself. She did nothing. And then we start thinking... We start loathing ourselves. We start hating ourselves. And we forget the greatest tool we have for that is what? Repentance. I have wore that out. I have repented for repenting so much. That's bad. But God don't care. God wants repentance. He forgets. God ain't going to bring up your past. It says that's forgotten, doesn't it? That was lost on the cross. That's covered in blood, right? Including future sins. If you lay those at the cross and repent, that same blood covers them. And don't keep back going back doing the same sin, though. You know, even God has a limit, right? But repentance is our greatest tool. Every word, first word out of our mouth should be, I'm sorry, God, whenever we talk to him, because I know I've done something. Next thing, you have to be fully submitted to God. Kenny likes to talk about those that straddle a fence, that sit on the fence. Are you submitted? Well, I don't know. What day is it? I love his answer to that. Push them. See which way they fall. Then we know how to pray. That's wisdom. Deuteronomy 30:16. For I have commanded you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws, and then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering. Submitting to God is more than just being obedient. It's doing it wantfully, even if you weren't going to get these great rewards out of it. Just for the fact that he saved me from that pit we were talking about is more than enough in my life, right? Submit yourself to God. 99.999 is not enough. It's 100% or nothing, right? How can you say, well, I'm without sin when you have, well, it's just one little sin, Bob. A sin's a sin, isn't it? Right? And there's no such thing as one. Sin is a herd animal. It always calls out like a wolf, oh, and the rest of them come. You let one in, you let them all in. So submit yourself to God. You can do nothing without him. Eddie, this one's for you. Put on the whole armor of God. We've been getting a weapon. We've been both offensive and defensive, right? The armor of God. Like Kenny was talking about this morning, no, you're in a war. You are all in a war. He's out to deceive you. He's out to kill you. Even worse, send you to hell. And I'll forewarn you, you know what? He's going to attack you. Each and every one of us sitting here will be attacked more than once. Why would we just let that armor lay there? If you're called into battle, well, hold on, I'm coming. Let me put my rifle down. All right, I'm ready to run into battle now. No. Sarge, many a night we've slept with that, haven't we? That's right. That's what the sergeant used to say. That rifle should be closer than your wife or girlfriend could ever be. Always kid, Eddie. Always tell him, where in the world, in the word, does it say to take off the armor? Does it say put on the armor of God? When you're in combat, how many nights have you slept with your boots on? You're in the middle of a war zone. You're in the middle of a battle. You don't take your armor off, lay your weapon down, and put on your jammies with the little feet and the bunnies and stuff. Get your little pillow and my little binky. No one will attack me at night. It's okay. Anybody ever here been attacked at night? Huh? Oh, Satan wouldn't do that. Never let your guard down. When you're in war, you never let your guard down because you only have to let it down once. Might not be able to do it again. There is no get out of jail card in hell. You go, oop, I got to get out of hell card. No. Nope, 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 nope. And here, to finish with this, to go along with what Kenny was saying, part of it, one of the greatest ways is to be active in a church. To be in a church and be active in it. Activity is not sitting warming a pew. Occasional, amen, amen, yeah, amen, amen. Get a donut and go home. You're all part here. You're all part of the battle. Everyone is increasing. Is essential to the whole army. Be active. The main thing is in Bible studies and prayer. Right? You may be old like me. I can't do a lot of things, but I can study the Word of God, and I can pray, right? That don't require much effort. It requires much effort. I got a bad back. I can't do much. But I can study the Word of God, and I can pray. Anyone here can't do those? All right. By doing that, what you're doing is you're learning to understand God's voice, God's will. Right? In prayer, it's not always talking to Him. The best way to pray is to keep your mouth shut and listen to what God says. Right? Prayer is supposed to be a conversation. We kind of hog that conversation. We pull out our list. Well, God, here's what I want today. I'll be back tomorrow with another list. We need to learn God's voice. Right? Then you don't have to do those elaborate things like I was kidding you here. Well, I'm going to test God's word. You know, I'm going to do this 90 things. That's ridiculous. I'm in a church. I could go to Pastor John and say, Pastor, I had this thought. Maybe I can read people's minds before they think them. You know what the pastor's going to tell me? Bob, you've never had a good thought. Go sit down. That's wisdom, right? Bob, your first mistake, you were thinking. Go sit down. We don't have to do all that elaborate stuff I was laying out here. That's part of the deception. That's why we're here. We got men to look out for us, right? And he's told me that before. I've come with some stuff. I don't think that's God. And he was right. We need to learn to listen to God and also talk with him. God is that, like I said, when God asks me to do something, I don't know how to do it. I say, God, if this is you, you have to make a way. I talk to him. He's okay with that. And that's how we learn to recognize his will, through prayer and studying his word. I'm going to end right now. And this is the last thing, the most important thing, not that they aren't all important, of not being able to get fooled or deceived. Well, actually, it's three things. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, right? Can you deceive the Holy Spirit? If you got the Holy Spirit, you can't be deceived either. Test the spirits, but you have to have the right spirit in you to know that one's wrong. In John 14:26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything. Teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said. Right? But to remind you, some people, I think, get this a little confused. To bring something to remembrance, it has to be there to begin with. Well, I've never read the Word of God. I don't have to. God's just going to tell me what to say. Come on, we've got to put a little effort into this, right? This is not a spectator sport. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You will receive power, right? All power. To do what? Anything that God asks you to do. You think God is going to ask you to do something you can't? He's asking you to do something because you can do it. He wants it done. You don't think you can do it, but he's helping you by asking you to stretch a little bit. It kind of hurts a little bit, but we have to stretch. All power, like a cell phone. Let me see your phone. Look at him standing here with his phone. But you see this cell phone? Just think of the power that thing has. You know, when I was going to school, we had this, it was called a mechanical calculator. It was a pencil. There's nothing you cannot find on your cell phone now. You can get on the internet and find anything. You can talk to a person in China. It'll practically predict the future. Almost anything is right at your fingertips, right? And that's a hunk of metal that a man invented. Through the Holy Spirit, we have all power and all authority to do everything that God asks us to do. No one has an excuse for not doing something God asks. Amen? I end with the fact that be very careful. The more you step out, the more the enemy is going to try and stop you. And deception is its greatest weapon. It's smoke and mirrors, like my terrible magic act up here, right? Do not be deceived. You have the power and authority in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit not to give in to that, to be able to know that that's not of God. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Prayer team, can I get the prayer team up? Thank you. Can I get the prayer team up here? Ah, here come the young guys. Come up. Anybody that needs prayer for anything, come on up. But if you want some prayer for deception, if sometimes you get deceived, sometimes too easy, and a good sign of that is if your life is a roller coaster. One day, we all know somebody, I'm on fire. Jesus loves me. I can do anything. Next time you see him, how's it going? Oh, you don't know the troubles I got, Pastor. That's unbearable. That's one day. What happened? That's deception of the enemy, right? We don't have to be like that. We don't have to be anything but all-powerful and obedient to God. And that's where the power comes in, being obedient to God, nowhere else. If you're not happy, it's because you're not walking in the plan, purpose, and will God has for you. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Come on up for prayer. I'm going to get a donut. Thank you.